This week, KUOW is bringing you our series, Seattle's Homeless, No End in Sight. The slide into homelessness is nearly always complicated, and often it's entirely unexpected. For the final part of our series, KUOW's Jeannie Yandel has one family's story.
One of the first things you notice about Jessica Tosse is her laugh. It's a quick, low chuckle. And in 2007, if you'd told Jessica she and her family would become homeless, you might have heard that chuckle in response. Her husband Jason had just joined the Carpenters Union.
We even, you know, joked about how, hey, once you're 65, you'll have your 30 years in at the union and you'll be able to retire and full benefits.
They lived in a rented four-bedroom house on a half acre in Pierce County with their two small kids, and they had plans to buy the house. Then the recession hit. Construction work slowed down. Jason took side jobs, but he couldn't afford his union dues, so he lost his membership.
I guess we were both starting to get pretty depressed at that point. We no longer had the security of being able to pay rent and have food on the table every month. We then also lost our security knowing that our future, we were assuming, was going to be fine also.
The Tossies moved into a smaller place. To try and make ends meet, they started their own business, but the taxes were so expensive, they had to shut it down. Jason left the state to train to drive semi-trucks. And Jessica started selling nutritional shakes from a company called Visalis to try and bring in extra income. The Tossies kept managing to make rent. Then, one day in spring 2013, Jessica came home to find a notice on the door of the townhouse they were renting. It was addressed to the landlords.
And I started realizing it was a notice of intent for foreclosure, and I actually even had an auction date on there.
The landlords told Jessica her family needed to vacate. And just like that, the Tosse family became a statistic. The National Center on Family Homelessness estimates there are more than 61,000 homeless kids in Washington state. That number includes kids who stay with family friends or stay in motels, which is exactly what Jessica and her kids did through the spring and summer. In September, Jason quit his training and came home to help. Then something happened that Jessica calls a godsend. On the Greyhound home, Jason got a call from a friend. The friend said they needed a carpenter for a temp job starting that Monday morning.
And the job was way up in Mill Creek. We're in Des Moines SeaTac area, but, you know, he got there. He had taken the bus, multiple buses to get there with his carpentry bags and whatnot and his handbag with his hand tools.
The company hired Jason on full time. He still works there. But secure employment didn't lead to secure housing. Landlords kept rejecting their apartment applications because of an eviction on Jessica and Jason's credit reports. Jessica tried to fight the eviction, but landlords saw them as too big a risk. They ended up sleeping in their SUV at Jason's job site for 3 weeks.
We borrowed blankets from some friends and locked the doors, and we'd listen to the radio until the kids fell asleep.
By then, Jessica and Jason had a third child, and they'd been homeless for more than a year. Jessica told a friend she felt like a failure.
And, you know, she reinforces and tells me I'm not, but it just seems like no matter what we do, we can't ever get ahead or make a change. That's a permanent solution. I'm 35. I don't own a home. I right now have no working vehicles. I take the bus everywhere I walk. I do. I feel like a loser.
The Tossies kept getting rejected for apartment rentals, so they got creative. In late June, with help from Jessica's parents, she and Jason bought a 26-foot travel trailer, and they rented a spot at the KOA campground in Kent. I met her there on a sunny July day. The kids ran around the campground, and Jessica sat at a picnic table. They could have been on vacation. The KOA allows long-term stays, so Jessica knew her family had a place to live for at least the next year. She was optimistic they could save money and plan for their future.
This has a swimming pool. And my oldest son, who's 9, he actually can swim now to one end of the pool and back. And that's like a little milestone for me. Something as little as this makes other things sort of go away out of my mind.
That optimism didn't last.
It just seemed like when the weather changed, things changed there too.
In December, the managers of the KOA had the Tossies' trailer towed out of the campground. That meant more stays at motels and friends' houses. But this time was different. Through her church, Jessica Jessica learned about a rapid rehousing program through the Highline School District and a nonprofit called Neighborhood House. The rapid rehousing program involves more than just finding housing. Participants must attend monthly meetings with a Neighborhood House caseworker to work on a household budget and ensure they can make rent. The Tossies got into the program, and on January 5th, they got the keys to a condo in Des Moines, down the street from where Jessica grew up. They've signed a 12-month lease.
Mom, why do people forget stuff?
I don't know. I keep forgetting stuff. Sorry.
Jessica stands in the living room of the condo, getting herself and her youngest son, Blakely, ready for their mile-long walk to church, where Blake goes to preschool. The family still doesn't own a car. And the only way to get to church is to walk the shoulder of Kent Des Moines Road. Jessica wears one of Jason's bright orange work sweatshirts to make sure drivers see her. She puts her body between Blake and the cars whizzing by.
No matter, you know, how much you hold your kids' hands or tell them to stay in as close as they can, you know, they still sort of wander. And there's been times that cars, I don't know if they're not seeing us or they're doing it on purpose, but people have almost hit us. They've crossed the line.
Jessica estimates her family probably moved 25 times since the spring of 2013. But no matter where they were sleeping or what they had to do next, she and Jason focused on keeping their three kids' lives as consistent as possible.
They got to stay in their same schools, have their same friends. We come to church every Sunday still. They go to Sunday school. They went to Vacation Bible School during the summer. They got to have all of that.
Jessica says she knows her family could slip back into homelessness again if Jason gets hurt on the job. And with another baby on the way, Jessica's thinking a lot about the future. But she's not thinking about Jason or herself.
Are my children going to need some sort of counseling? Or will this be something 20 or 30 years down the road, will it affect them in their marriage? Or their relationships? Just with coworkers even? You know, who knows, like, did we do damage?
But Jessica knows something else about her kids' futures. This past Thanksgiving, the Tossies went to a church dinner with other families from her daughter's school.
And there was, I believe, 10 different families who were homeless. And I was in shock. But then that made me think, well, if that school had roughly 10, and that's one of the people who showed probably, what about the other schools?
It's not clear how being homeless will affect the Tossie kids as they get older. But it is clear they'll have other kids to talk to who have had the same experience. For KUOW News, I'm Jeannie Yandel.
Our series, Seattle's Homeless, No End in Sight, is a collaboration between KUOW and Investigate West. You can find the whole series at our website, kuow.org.